Father, we come to you here this morning, and we just cry out your name, because you are the only hope we have in this world. You're the only hope for people that are destroying their lives. You're the only hope for broken marriages. You're the only hope for wayward kids. You're the only hope for the disease and the hurt and the heartbreak of this life. For without you, Heavenly Father, there is no hope. It's just this life and all that it might bring and end in the grave. But with you, there is hope. So, Father, I just thank you for this time and pray that as we open your word, you would help us that we would anchor our hearts and lives to the eternal truth of your word. For every day that comes forward after this, we would live for you, walk in you. Jesus, 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 there is just something about your name. And we pray for your glory. You might be lifted up now in this time. You and you alone. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Sweet time. Thank you, Mark and Mindy. Last week we began looking at thankfulness, that the risk of life and how that affects our thankfulness. And I kind of want to continue that thought a little bit here, talking about the idea of sincerity in our thanksgiving, that we're truly, genuinely, sincerely thankful. Not the way that the world would say, well, you know, thank God that didn't happen. There's no sincerity in that. That's just a phrase. It's an empty phrase. It means nothing. But that's the world, as they throw out terms like that, it doesn't really mean anything. And I want us to take a look. In fact, if you will go to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we're going to focus there. We're going to jump around a lot around in the New Testament quite a bit. But going to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we find something really remarkable, because there's a lot of people that always talk about what's the will of God. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You specifically. Paul's writing, he's saying, when you're reading this, you need to understand, and people say this all the time, Pastor, I don't even know what God really wants me to do. How am I supposed to choose what's God's will in my life? There are so many places within Scripture that God says, and this is God's will for you, and then he states it. This is one of those places. We always want to know, okay, you know, what school do I go to? What job do I take? Do I marry the blonde or the brunette? I don't know. What do we do? Give me specifics. And yet, we don't want to follow the Lord in the general sense. We want to say, you know what, I'm going to step in obedience and I'm going to begin to walk with him and that which I know clearly that he's telling me to do. So then I'll have the wisdom to be able to, these other subtle things that come up in life, I'll know what to do about that. So here is one of those general things when he says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, specifically. And thankfulness then becomes kind of the essence of a believer's life when you think about that. In everything of our life, we should be set apart from the rest of the world because we're thankful. It becomes a part of our nature now because we are born again. And he gives us contrast when Paul writes, here he is, you know, in Thessalonians, but in Romans he gives us the contrast to somebody who's not in Christ, who doesn't have that heart of thankfulness. And notice what he says in Romans 1:21. For although they, talking about people who are lost outside of Christ, not in Christ, not by faith in Christ, but also although they knew God, they knew he existed, in other words, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. See, that's the people that say, yeah, I know there's a God out there, but I'm not gonna honor him as God. I'm not going to acknowledge that he's God, and I'm certainly not going to give thanks to him. So they, out of rebellion, say no. I know there's a God, I know that I know that all this couldn't just happen, but I refuse to accept that, and I will walk in a world without giving thanks. It's amazing, because he comes down to this idea of bringing thankfulness into that. And then it says, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Futile in their thinking. I don't know about you, but when I turn on different forms of TV or media or whatever, and you hear people debating things, And some of the arguments, you're thinking, what are they thinking? How could they possibly be connecting all those dots? They're just futile in their thinking. They're lost in their thinking. Thinking that they're denying facts, they're denying biology, they're denying truth, and yet they want to stand on this and say, yeah, I've got it all taken care of. They're futile in their thinking. As he says here, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So this whole idea of not believing says basically that I'm just believing in luck. Well, you can't be thankful for luck. Luck is just luck. You know, who do you thank for luck? Or maybe you're a fatalist to say it's just the force out there or something. Or maybe some say, well, if I'm going to be thankful, I'm going to be thankful to myself because I'm the one that's directing my life. I'm the one that's making all these choices. So that's kind of the other option is I either thank myself or I just don't thank anything because it's just life and it's going to happen or it's not. But for the born-again believer, somebody who's in Christ, we turn our attention to the Lord and say, He's in charge. And I'm thankful to Him in everything that happens. See, because when I become a new person in Christ, when I've received Jesus as my Savior, the Scripture says that I become a new creation in Christ. Amen? We do that. We're no longer the same. We're brand new. A brand new heart, brand new soul, brand new life. Everything is now different. I was dead before I was in Christ. Now I'm alive in Christ, heaven bound, and that should be evident in my life. And what's part of the evidence is my gratitude. If that's real, then am I allowing that to come out of my life, or am I as grumpy as I used to be? I'm the same as I used to be. And so if that's the case, if you're genuinely saved but you don't act like it, then maybe it's time, like Lazarus, to take off the grave clothes. Cut those off. Stop living like the world. And start living like the person that's alive in Christ. With a brand new thing. Notice what he says in Romans. Romans 8:28. For we know that those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. That's a part of the idea that we can thank God because there's this umbrella of God's grace and mercy over in our life that says everything he's doing, everything, just like Joseph and the brothers and all that, and at the end of his life he says, you know, you guys meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, and this is what he's doing. God is ultimately in charge of all of that, even the things we cannot see, and even the things we will never be able to see in this life. He's still working those things out for his glory. And as God's children, we say, God, if you need to use my life, then here I am. And I'm thankful to even be a part of this. God's in control, and he's working that out. Now, Paul, who probably knew more about suffering than anybody that we've ever met. You've ever come in contact with anybody that's been through more misery than Paul. He was beaten. He was thrown in dungeons. He was starved. He was shipwrecked. He was out at sea floating. And I mean, just all kinds of stuff. Danger all the time. In fact, one of his testimonies is, the Holy Spirit just told me that basically wherever I go, I'm going to be beat up or I'm going to be thrown in jail. That's my life. And so Paul comes along and he says this to the Corinthians, those young Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, he says, for it's all for your sake. All of this that we go through, the up and down, the insecurity of life and all that, is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Paul's saying here that, yeah, my life's a turmoil sometimes. I don't know if I'm going to be beat up or in jail or starving or whatever it might be, but it doesn't really matter, because through all of this, the whole point of this is that more and more people will come to know Jesus Christ, and they will see him, and they will give thanks to him for his glory. They will come to know him and understand him and embrace Christ. So Paul just says, I'll pour out my life no matter what it means, just so that others can come to Christ. It's not about my comfort. It's not about making sure that I'm secure. It's not about any of that for Paul. It's a challenge for our lives to say, do we live like Paul, or do we just live like Christian Americans that we think more about our comfort than we do about God working through our lives for the benefit of the kingdom? And so here we are. Notice what Paul writes again to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And I love this. He says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. I love that. If you are in Christ, then the Holy Spirit lives within you. Now, if we walk in obedience, we call that the filling of the Holy Spirit. If you walk in disobedience, then you're grieving the Spirit. But he's saying, be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another, listen to this, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. I believe that music is just a part of our lives. And I know some people love music, some people are kind of indifferent towards it, no big deal. But I love it, the fact that, have you noticed that you can take a classroom of little preschool kids, Judy's got these little kids down here on this, and you play music, and you look around the room, and little kids will just start dancing. They just start doing that. They don't even know why, they just think the music's playing, so we got to start dancing or something. It's just in our bones. And I love this, he's saying, just let that come out, this whole idea of greeting each other with song. And it's going to be a little weird if you come up and say, hello, Pastor, all this kind of stuff. That's going to be a little weird. But it's the idea that my heart is just overflowing with rejoicing and thanksgiving. And that's the picture of this. Notice what he says in the next. Giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thing to think. In everything I give thanks. He reiterates that when he gets to Philippians. He writes to those and he says this in Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious, do not be worried, do not be stressed, in other words, about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Go to God with everything. Go to God with every thought, every concern, every worry, but don't worry about it. Don't stress all that. Don't wring your hands over that. Take that concern right up to the throne of grace and give it to God in thanksgiving. And when he mentions this, he says, prayer, supplication with thanksgiving in your requests. He's talking about this attitude of prayer, that we ought to be praying constantly, being everything by prayer and supplication. When he writes to the Colossians, notice the same thing, chapter 2, verse 6. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. He's saying here that if you're a Christian, if you're a born-again Christian, then you ought to be walking in obedience. There should be a marketable difference about it. I mean, you should be able to know, wow, that person is different than the rest of the world because they're walking in Christ. We're obedient to the Word of God. We're not sitting back and saying, you know what, I'm going to make up my own rules. I'll decide how I'm going to live. I know the Word of God says I shouldn't be doing this, but, you know, that was old. I think I'll come up with a new set. No, it's walking in obedience with the Word of God, to love God more than anything else and love people around me more than anything else. And that would change everything about us. And he says, if you're truly in Christ, then walk in him. And then notice the way he talks about this. Rooted and built up in him and established in faith. That's that sense of saying you're in a period of discipleship where you're growing and you're putting down roots in the Word of God, and in your faith is growing and expanding, is what he's talking about. And then he says, established in faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. It just keeps coming back to this idea that if I'm in Christ and I'm a new creation and I'm walking with him as I should be, then thanksgiving just comes out. You can't stop it. And maybe you know people like that. They are just so thankful for life. And it's not that they don't have problems. They just don't focus on those. It's just not the focus of the day. And then there's the others that, doesn't matter what's going on, they're kind of focused on the other part of that. You know, we call them the Eeyores. I don't know. How you doing? It's a great day. I don't know. We'll probably all freeze to death. You know? It's like, what? Stop, you know? But it's that attitude. And there's a part of that. I know there's personality differences. And there's some people that are bubbly. Some people too bubbly. And then there's other people that are, you know, a little too sad and a little, you know, all that. And so there's a vast variety of personalities. But what should dominate everything about all of us, if we're in Christ, should be this: the spirit of thankfulness. Thankful that we can even go through the day. Thankful that he would have loved us, characterized by this overflowing gratitude. Drop down to chapter 3 of Colossians in verse 17 and notice what it says. And whatever you do in word or deed, that means all of your action, this is talking about your obedience, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. once again, he comes back to this idea of obedience, walking in Christ. You have an anger issue, deal with it. You're not being obedient with Christ. You have a lust issue, deal with it. You're not being obedient to Christ. You have a materialistic kind of an attitude that you're always greeting, wanting other things, and just wanting more and more just meaningless stuff. Deal with that, because that's not walking in obedience. You're addicted to some kind of an issue in life, whether it's a drinking problem or some other kind of a habit issue. Deal with that, because you're not walking in Christ as you're embracing that. He's saying, so walk in Christ, in word or deed. Do everything in the name of Jesus Christ. And then he says, giving thanks to God the Father through him in absolutely everything. Now that's a hard thing, because it's easy to rejoice when things are going good. Easy to rejoice. Your wedding day, great day to rejoice. Just got a brand new job. You just got a huge raise. You know, your baby was just born and he's healthy and all 10 fingers and toes and all that kind of stuff. So you're all, it's easy to rejoice like that. But what about in the bad times? What about rejoicing when you get the call that says it's cancer? What about rejoicing in the midst you find yourself now going through a divorce, or maybe you find yourself, your kids are estranged, or they're wayward, and you're just racked with hurt and pain over that? How do you rejoice in the midst of that? And so some people would come back and they would say, well, I know what that really means, Pastor. It means in spite of. And I would say, okay, to a degree. That means even in spite of the fact that I'm going through this bad thing, I'm going to rejoice. But let me challenge you with this. Maybe it doesn't just mean that. Maybe it means that we actually give thanks for everything, in everything and for everything that happens. How do we do that? Because there's bad things that happen. And I'm not talking about just evil, but just life circumstances. I've told you before that when we were on one of those many, many trips down to MD, and I was with Michael, and we were headed that way, and we were talking about, he was weak, really weak during those moments, and we were going down, he was going to have need plasma, and he was going to have to go through that. And so we were down there, and I remember, Michael, I was saying, you know, Lord, Michael, we just got to, in spite of what's going on, we're just going to praise him. And he looks at me and he said, no, Dad, I'm praising the Lord for my cancer. And I said, no, I can't do that. And he said, yeah, I am, Dad, because without this in my life, I would not be where I'm going to be today. And I know there's going to be somebody there that I'll be able to speak to for Christ. And I wouldn't see them, I wouldn't bump into them, had it not been for this in my life. And I struggled with that big time. I learned more theology through Michael in 4 years than any classes that I've ever had. And I remember that day we were sitting in the room and he was going through that process, and I was deep in sorrow and grief and struggling and just worried and praying for him, and I was oblivious to everything. Next thing I know, Michael's in a conversation. And the lady had come in to clean the room and empty the trash cans. And the next thing I know, I'm sitting there in my grief, and he's sharing Christ with the woman that came in to empty the trash cans, leading her to Christ. And you could see her in her life. She was just like, I didn't come in here thinking that this would happen, and yet now she's in the presence of the Holy Spirit working in her heart and life. And right then I realized, that's what he was talking about. We thank him regardless of what's going on in our lives. We thank him that we're experiencing this for his glory somehow, some way. It doesn't mean that the things that happen in our lives are good things. It's not. But it means that God can take the worst of situations and use that for his glory. And why are we living? See, he says here, and we'll go back to where we started with Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5. And if you've ever said, I can't memorize verses, well, you can, okay? Verse 16, rejoice always, period. There it is. You can memorize scripture, okay? In fact, there's three of them here. I'll challenge you. to stretch yourself, okay, with your biblical knowledge here. Rejoice always. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. There's another long one there for you. And then we'll shorten this one, give thanks in all circumstances. Of course, this is for the will of God. Those three things. To rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and to give thanks in all circumstances. That should be the thing that sets us apart from the whole world. But that's who we are in Christ. Because we know where we're going to be. I've read the end of the book, have you? And it's really glorious, okay? As a few pages back, it gets really bad. But at the very end, it's really, really good, okay? And that's where we're going to end. See, it doesn't really matter what happens between now and then. I mean, there's going to be good days and bad days, and I don't want bad days. I want good days. I pray for good days. But I also know how this is going to end. I know what's waiting for me at the end of the day, at the end of my life. Have you ever been like that? You're on a trip or you're somewhere. I remember when I traveled a lot and I would be some of those longer trips that I'd be gone 6 to 8 weeks away from home, and I could just hardly wait till I would get home. And I'd be on the plane or something and they'd have a delay and it didn't matter to me. It didn't matter if the airline food came and it was pitiful and it was always pitiful. And they would, you'd open it up and they'd serve raw fish or something. You're just thinking, where am I, Lord? This is not Texas. And so here I am, you know, you're thinking, I didn't complain because I knew what I was going to get when I got home. Judy would have one of my favorite meals cooked. She'd be there and she'd feed me and it would be fabulous. And I knew I was going to be home at the end of a day or two, and that made it okay. And I could rejoice all the way home. And that's how we live our life, because I know where I'm going to be. Not because of my goodness, because I'm not. It's because I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I know I'm heaven bound. At the end of the day, I can rejoice now in every circumstance because I'm going to be with Him in heaven. And I give thanks for that every day, all day. Amen. We'll end with this. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. I think we need to understand and make it real clear, God's doing the work, not us. We're simply making ourselves available. God, use me, and I'm going to be grateful and thankful no matter what the day is. No matter what comes my way, I can say thank you for this and thank you for that, because I know you're still in control and nothing can snatch me out of your hand. So I can truly be thankful. I know it's going to be okay. If we rejoice all the time, we pray all the time, and we give thanks all the time, we'll be able to change the people around us. They will see a light in us that is nowhere else in the world, and they're going to come and ask, what's going on? Why do you rejoice and pray and thanks at all times? And we can simply say, it's Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your glory. I thank you for your love and your mercy and what you do for us. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that as we come into this place, not because we're worthy, but because you are, and we worship you, we lift up your name, we draw strength from you. We dig our hearts deep into your word and anchor ourselves to your truth. And I pray, Heavenly Father, as we leave this place, that we would be thankful. Thankful for this group of people, this our friends and family, this church family. Thankful that we can bind together and we can minister together and work together for the kingdom's sake. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. But, Father, I thank you for the individuals that I see pouring their hearts and lives into the gospel work here. I thank you for the days ahead that you lead us into. I thank you for the community that we're in, that we have an opportunity to make a difference in this community and to bring people to the hope in Christ. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for most of all, for your daily presence in our lives. And if there's somebody here right now that does not know you that way, maybe they just know about you. They've never prayed. They've never opened their heart to you. They've never said, Jesus, I believe in you with all my heart. I know you are who you say you are. And I commit my life to you and ask you to come in and fill my heart. Forgive me of my sin and make me your child. And to be able to stand upon your word and say, I believe it when it says that if I confess you with my mouth and believe in my heart that you have been raised from the dead, that you are who you say you are, then I'll be saved. Father, we love you and we thank you, and may you be glorified now in the way that we respond to you.